And a lot of us are building SaaS tools. And if we're lucky, maybe 8 or 9% of people who land on the website sign up. And this means that you've spent all of that money, your money, your VC money, building something, and most people will never see it because they never even touch the product.
Welcome to the Visual Makers Podcast. This is my very first episode in English. My name is Adriano. And today I am speaking with Enrique from Rose. Some of you probably already know rose.com. It's this beautiful and very easy to use spreadsheet tool. And Lilith spoke with Torben, one of the co-founders, in June 2022. So if you haven't heard that episode, I can really recommend it to you. It's going to be a very different perspective. And also time-wise, of course, a lot has happened at Rose ever since. So I can really recommend to give that episode a listen. And yes, today I'm talking with Enrique. He is the head of growth at Rose.com. And I'm very happy that he is here today. Welcome, Enrique. Welcome, Enrique. I'm very glad that you're here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Adrian, for inviting me. Really excited to talk today.
Yeah, so am I. It's my first episode in English. This podcast is usually in German, but it would be a pity not to talk to you and other people in English just because we have it usually in German. So I'm really glad that it worked out.
Yeah. Well, my two and a half years in Berlin weren't enough to kind of make me study German. So I think we'll have to do this in English.
All right. Some other time. No worries. You have any favorite German words from that time?
Kartoffelsalat.
As far as it goes.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So maybe you can introduce yourself quickly to listeners. Who are you? And before we talk about Rose and what you do there, maybe also give a short background intro into like your life, what you have done before, and stuff like that.
Sure. So my name is Enrique. I lead our growth team at Rose. Growth for us is really go to market. Brand, marketing, data as well, and then everything that touches the product on like activation and sharing, basically. So it's a team of some developers, designers, data, product marketing, etc. And yeah, we've been building this for, I've been there for 6 years almost, started as a first product manager before we had any users and really any product. And over the past 6 years, basically, we're building a modern spreadsheet. So we say the best way to import, transform, and share data on a spreadsheet. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Great. Have you had any other product or like growth experiences before going to Rose? Or?
Yeah. Before Rose, I worked at another couple of their startups. I think most notable, I was one of the first employees at Talkdesk. Talkdesk.com is now a big SaaS product in the contact center space. Nice. It was a small team between Lisbon and San Francisco. I was kind of the first PM on Portugal, so that was a lot of fun. And before I did consulting for a while, so I worked at Kaizen, so like continuous improvement consulting on factories, shop floor. It was fun because it allowed me to work in Portugal, in China, in Russia, in the US, so in a bunch of different places. And then I moved more into tech.
So all right, quite cool. Different. So you lived in Lisbon to work for Talkdesk, but you're right now, you lived then in Berlin, as you already told me, but now you're back in Porto, right?
Exactly, back home.
Cool. I already listened to the episode that Lilith once recorded with Tom in 2022, and there he also talks about like how Rose became what it is today, and how he and the other co-founder got to found it. And your second co-founder, it's two co-founders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. And he's Portuguese, is that correct? That's why you have this German-Portuguese connection.
Exactly, okay. That's the Portuguese connection.
How many people are in Portugal that work with Rose?
Where we are, I think, around 35. And I want to say that 30 are in Portugal. Some in different parts of Portugal, right? Not everybody in the Porto. And then we have a few people who work out of Brazil, India, Berlin, so a few different places, all remotely, really.
Oh, nice. So it's like really a complete remote company, but you have an HQ in
Berlin. Exactly, with a center of gravity here in Portugal. Yeah.
Nice. That's a good place to be. I know because I moved to Lisbon.
Exactly, yeah.
Amazing. All right. So maybe for anyone who is new into no code and maybe hasn't heard of Rose before or didn't listen to the first episode we had a while ago, Can you explain ROAST to us a little bit further? You said it's about spreadsheets in a nicer, more modern, more beautiful way. Can you elaborate more on that, please?
So ROAST, and that's ROAST.com, really is a modern spreadsheet. And essentially what we notice is that at the end of the day, things tend to end up in a spreadsheet, right? You take data from Stripe into a spreadsheet or from Google Analytics or LinkedIn profiles or, you know, whatever it is. But spreadsheets weren't really built for this new age. Google Sheets, that is the most modern spreadsheet that most of us use, is from 2006. And so we notice that a lot of things have changed since 2006, particularly the way that we use data and this idea that we have to connect to all of these SaaS tools to get work done. And then the sharing component, right? If you think of 06 was when the iPhone launched, when a lot of our work became mobile first, or at least mobile independent. And so our goal is, okay, how do we build a spreadsheet for the 2020s? And so it is a modern spreadsheet. So you can use VLOOKUP, Index, Match, all of that stuff. But then it has three different innovative components. One of them is it has a set of connectors to all of those integrations. So you can connect without any code to Stripe, to Google Analytics, to Facebook ads, etc., get all that data in. Now there's a big AI layer. This is one of the big changes since you guys talked with Torben in 2022, that you can basically talk with your data set, like ask it questions. What are the campaigns that are performing the most? Like, what are the best salespeople? So there's a big AI layer. And then the sharing component, you can turn any spreadsheet into a dashboard in one click that is mobile friendly, that you can use on the go, or that you can actually take parts of the spreadsheet and embed into other platforms. So one of our most popular use cases are people connecting databases from Notion to Rows, crunching the numbers, doing charts, and then embedding them back into Notion. Right? You take a chart, you embed, it refreshes automatically, and then you kind of build a workflow. And that's about it. We are about 800,000 users right now after a big explosion last year. And that's what we're building, kind of the best spreadsheet for the next 50 years.
That's so cool. You just said about the explosion of users. I want to come to that a little bit later, because I think it has also something to do with the way your website looks now. But that's for later. Yeah, I found it really interesting because I had a talk recently with Stefan. He's the founder of Arrange, which is like a German Cologne startup that creates a layer on top of Excel, basically also trying to fight that problem of Excel is super powerful in what it can do, but it's ugly and it's complicated. And many times you just want to share just a fragment of it with someone who's not supposed to work with it or see other data, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool to see that there's a lot happening on these, like, okay, sure, that was an era for these spreadsheets and they're still being used and they're having growth, but you know, there's a way to do them differently and even better. I'm a big ROAST fan. I mean, we already had a case study together with Make where we talk about how we at Visual Makers use ROAST. And I think I pushed it very much forward back then when Lilith introduced me to it. I was like, why aren't we building more on this? This is, looks just so
good. Yeah, you're one of our champions, so I'm really proud about that.
I really love it. The things that happened ever since Tom has been here, you said you, especially in the AI sector, there's a lot that happened. I want to talk about that in a second, but I have one thing here that Tom said when he talked to Lilith, is that ROAST is like spreadsheets as a web app. Is it something you would agree, or is that too simplistic, or has it grown out of it already? Is it more than that?
Mm-hmm. It has definitely grown out of that. I think if we look back at 2021, 2022, we thought that ROAST would be well positioned into the no-code space, so giving people the ability to build like a spreadsheet front end where in the back they have these data sources and so on, and they would use it mostly as a web app. But that actually, there's a few customers using that, but that ended up not being the primary use case of ROAST. The primary use case of ROAST is really people using it for data analysis, reporting, sharing tables, sharing lists, and not as much as a full-fledged no-code tool. What we see that's really interesting is then people using parts of ROAST as in their no-code stack. So connecting Mate and ROAST to do some sentiment analysis, or connecting the API of ROAST into a website to build a front-end calculator. So they use it as part of the process, where having a tabular format, having formulas, adds a lot of value. That's what we see.
Cool. Yeah, because I can also remember that Tom shared some some information like on the early customers who were mainly interested in like sales features. Is that still the case today, or how has that changed?
Yeah, that is. I think that's also changed quite a lot. One of our first iterations of that might have been like 19, 20, 21, was we had a lot of integrations with data sources relevant for sales jobs, like finding LinkedIn profiles, finding email addresses, enriching companies with LinkedIn profiles. And what we saw was that there was a lot of engagement and there was like thousands of people using that. But those people primarily were interested in the data piece and not really in the spreadsheet interface. And so it was more a data grab in that sense, where they wanted access to the data, but then maybe they want to move their work to their CRM or continue in another tool. And that didn't really fit very well the use case of, look, this is going to be the spreadsheet. You can do multiple jobs in the spreadsheet. And so now what we see that is really promising is there are some people that still use this for leads list, cleaning up leads, where they already use a spreadsheet for that. But more and more people are using us for reporting jobs. And reporting jobs might be you're a marketing agency pulling data from Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, Google ads to do reporting. But it also could be sales reporting. So we have a really popular integration with HubSpot and Salesforce, where you can, you know, give me all of the leads that closed in the last 3 months with a value over X. You pull that in, you do some charts, it refreshes automatically. You have a sales dashboard you can build on your own. Right? So it has expanded beyond just some of these enrichment use cases that we had a few years ago. Definitely.
Cool. Yeah, I know those use cases because that's how I also like pushed it at Visual Makers for reporting off the, for example, courses, like the fundamental courses and everything, all those KPIs. I was like, man, we have them spread all over the place. I want a nice like central way to build a dashboard, and I played around with it, and I got stuck. So that's definitely a really cool use case.
A few unlocks were also, we developed a Zapier integration, a Make.com integration, a Power BI connector, a Looker Data Studio connector. And so you can also use Rose as part of your workflow, that maybe the data comes inbound through Make and it ends up in Rose, or you do some analysis in Rose and then you connect it to Looker Studio or to Power BI or embed it in a website, something else.
Having all of these features and like especially the connectors to, you know, many other tools, but still being a spreadsheet, do you consider yourself like in the realm of the no-code tools? Would you say like, yes, we're a no-code tool, or is it more of we're a spreadsheet with, you know, modern features?
Yeah, I think we are really strong for no-code ops. If you're someone inside a company that wants to automate some processes that inevitably end up in a spreadsheet somehow, we're definitely the best spreadsheet to do the job. I think that's one way of thinking about it. If you want to use it as part of, look, I'm a freelancer and I want to build a website and I want Rose to be my back end, we're probably not the ideal tool for that. But if it touches reporting and analysis, let me give you a concrete use case. We have a large e-commerce website that uses Rose in combination for Make for customer support operations. Basically what they do is every time there's a new ticket that comes in through Make, it lands in Rose. Then it enriches with a column from our OpenAI integration that does tags classification. So they have basically 20 tags that they want to classify this ticket from. So they like, they do tier one tags, tier two tags. And then there's a reporting layer on top saying, you know, per day, how many tags are we getting of type A, type B, type C, which then becomes their central reporting view for this customer support team. So it's a bit of a mix, right? It is no code in essence, but it's inside an organization that's using it for a business team.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I also don't even think like it's necessary to pin it down in either or, is because it's both. It can do both, and that's how you just said many people use it, how we use it. Yes. We're currently building a new flow of like lead qualification flow. It's exactly that, like tally for the forms, you know, people type in something, it goes into Rose, and then with HubSpot and all those connections, possible through Make also with Excel, but not as nice and definitely probably more complicated in some spaces. What about the latest feature that if anyone is in the LinkedIn realm of Torben or Rose, or maybe even you, has probably seen a lot about, I love those short videos showing like how easy it is to use. It's called Rose X, And it kind of plays into the sales feature, but it's so much more than that, right? Can you tell us a little bit about Rose
X? Yeah, of course. Rose X is our first subproduct of Rose. So it is a Chrome extension for you to automatically import, scrape tables and lists of data from the web into a spreadsheet. It's again, the same ethos, right? We see that a lot of times you want data from the web into a spreadsheet. Could be a list of leads from LinkedIn, could be search results for YouTube because you're doing keyword analysis. It could be, you know, lists of startups in Y Combinator or Product Hunt. But then the alternatives are manual work or getting an intern or using some crappy other product that doesn't work very well. And so this actually came up in a hackathon. From time to time, we do these hackathons where the engineering team can just build whatever they want in 5 days or so. And one developer and a designer basically sat together and decided to build an extension. Then we parked it for a while. Then in a second hackathon this year in January, they came back to the idea and basically did it, like redid it and shipped it. And basically we had like an extension, which was something that we wanted to do in the past, but it took their inner motivation and will to do it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's going quite well. We have a few thousand people using the extension. And I think what's really interesting is that unlike the core products or the spreadsheet, in this product, in one click, it either gets value or not, but doesn't get value, right? You're in a home page, you're in a web page, there's a list of data, you want that data, you click in the extension. It either works for you and it's beautiful, or we didn't grab the data and then it didn't work for you. And so I think it's like the epitome of time to value. It either works in one second or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, there's nothing you can do. So I think it pushes a bit the limit of the UX in that sense.
It's some kind, like, it's a scraper, but easier. I think Chrome extensions or browser extensions generally have this nice notion of, you know, you just click on top, you don't even have to open something else. But they're usually, like the way I use them, the functionality is quite small. But it's still this nice thing that you just click on top, right, run, and then you see, okay, that worked. But this connection, of course, with being able to then suddenly push thousands of rows of data into your already existing spreadsheet is so cool. How do you kind of guarantee that it recognizes, you know, the lists and matches everything that is like relevant on it?
Yeah, I think the difference with other scrapers is, again, we purposely don't want to go into the scraping business just because it's hard, notoriously a little bit shady, like you're playing this cat and mouse game with the source website. It never works super well. You have to go manually pick the CSS elements. So what we thought was, okay, what can we do really well? What we can do really well are HTML tables that are on websites. Those, you're basically getting the data that you're already seeing. We can move those into a spreadsheet really quickly. And then we can do ad hoc developments for some list results that make sense, like YouTube results make sense, LinkedIn profiles make sense. Yeah. So we're not going to say, look, click this button, or we're going to scrape 20 pages or whatever it is. This is what you have on the page right now. Can we help you transition that into a spreadsheet faster? Right? And so out of the gate, it supports millions of websites that use regular HTML tables. And then we prioritize some jobs that make sense for these sort of list results.
I think that's so smart because and also important that you said it's not a scraper per se, because usually scrapers are bigger. They're, you know, as you said, they're used to go through multiple pages and they have this kind of shady nature, and they're usually not used by someone who will be, I don't know, a sales representative working with Rose. It's going to be some kind of developer. But in this way, you still kind of give this a functionality of what, or the nice thing that a scraper does for you, very easily just take a lot of data that is kind of like structured and takes away hours of work for you. But in a way that, you know, goes so well along with no code, it's non-technical. It's just click on the top right, boom, it's there. Great. And if it's not, then it probably like didn't quite get the list, right? And like, okay, what's the worst case? And you have to, I don't know.
And what's interesting is we're seeing some customers upgrading some of our paid plans for us to add support to specific websites to Rose X, because it's part of their process, getting data from the web, and it's really painful, and you can do a better job and help them. And so we do that. It also ties well with, even if you're not a Rose customer yet, when you click open in Rose, it will still work because we have this login-less mode. I think maybe we'll talk about it later. And so it's another way of really getting you to value fast. And then once you're on the spreadsheet, then you will naturally want to do more, and we can get your attention there.
Oh, that's so cool. And also the way that how it was created, you know, out of this hackathon, being like, hey, this would be a cool thing. All right, build it. And if it works, it works. And if not, and it's not like 10 developers working 6 months on something that, I don't know, has maybe no product market fits. Just like, okay, oh man, this worked. Cool. Let's ship it. That's amazing. What are some of the most use cases or best cases for Rose X? Do you have some numbers on that or some info?
The most popular ones are definitely LinkedIn search results. Okay. And so lists of people for sales or HR. That one is probably number one. Very popular is Wikipedia as well, just because people need data from Wikipedia a lot of times. Cool. And so you can quickly grab data from there. YouTube search results is also quite popular, especially for marketers doing keyword analysis on YouTube. Right? We think about keyword analysis very often on search, but there's a whole world of video and YouTube video. So TikTok and YouTube are also super popular. And then one of my favorites, but it's a little bit of a personal thing, are websites like Our World in Data, where you have these public data sets on everything. Yeah. And the extension just is able to grab that table into a spreadsheet. That's one of my personal favorites.
Oh, that's so
cool. But a few weeks ago, we did something like for 30 days in a row, we shared 30 websites to use Rose X for in LinkedIn and Twitter. And just to showcase the breadth of different things that you can use it for.
Yeah, that's a really cool marketing gig, by the way. Because it's so simple, but it's genius because it's exactly that. Every day you see something else and it's working. So,
One thing that blew up in Portugal was apartment job.
Idealista?
Apartment website. Yeah, Idealista in Portugal. It got, 50,000 impressions, a small video getting apartment listings into Rose. Yeah. So then we built like Zillow, Redfin, a bunch of other real estate websites for different countries in the world. Yeah, that one really took a life on its own.
It's crazy because I thought about the YouTube example. If you want those, like that data of those lists in order to do, for example, the keyword analysis or something, most of the times, either, as you said, someone has to sit through it and copy paste it, which is, you know, stupid because there's tools for it, but those tools cost a lot of money, right? So you go into some of these SEO or like keyword tools for YouTube, get the list, and then I don't know how much you pay per month just to get something that Rose will basically like, okay, right click, doop, there it is, and now you in Rose itself you can just do the rest of the analysis. And for the example of Idealista and other real estate sites is similar because recently I seen that they launched a platform here that helps you find also like a flat or a house through the different it gets all the different platforms into one. Mm-hmm. But of course, it also costs money again. And in this case, you know, you could at least first try to just scrape Idealista with Rose X and see, you know, kind of do the job instead of getting different tools or platforms to do so.
Of course, all of these other tools have value on their own and they offer other features.
Definitely,
that people like the comfort of having the data on their site. And if they see a list, they want to be able to pull it quickly into a spreadsheet. And maybe they do something else in another place, but at least they pull that in and they can sort and filter and do whatever they want, send to their friends and family.
Yeah, that's so cool. So Rose X is one of the great new features that you guys have shipped that probably gets people to fall in love with Rose and stay with it. What are the other main features that you would say are like something users described as like, okay, when I tried this, it got me, and that's when I stuck with Rose.
Yeah. The biggest aha moment is pulling data from a live integration by far. That is, you want to connect with Notion, you connect integration, you import your first database, you see it there. If you want to pull data from Google Analytics, you click, you pick your metrics, and you see it there. That is by far the point in time in which you really experience the value for the first time. The second one, and so our job is just making that experience easier and easier and easier so that more people can run into that. The second part is now on the AI analyst, because it's quite special when you ask a question about your data and it answers, or it suggests a table with the answer. And there, the big push for us is and we're going to ship a big improvement to the analysts in hopefully like 3 to 4 weeks, is helping you write the questions that the AI will be able to answer. Or if it doesn't answer, then to suggest related questions that you might ask. Because what we see, which is really interesting, is we have thousands of people trying the analyst for the first time, but it's also the feature with the most churn. And the churn happens because you asked a question that it didn't return. And when we look at why doesn't it return, it's very often because you would have been able to answer something related to what you asked, but not exactly the syntax that you asked.
Okay.
And so we're basically working on two features, which are suggested questions. So when you type the first time, it shows you a few questions that we know we can answer. And then if you ask something that it cannot reply, the model doesn't work, it suggests questions that are similar to the one you asked, but that you can get an answer to. So really trying to get that first experience in, because once you understand how do you formulate the questions to the analyst, and then it's really special. So these are kind of the two of the big ones.
That's cool. So to the ones listening who might not be familiar with roles or the analyst, it's like a way to, for example, grab a table, right? And then you can ask the AI analyst to do something with it, to get some of the most important, I don't know, numbers, or like summarize it, right?
Yeah, it's, I think a basic example would be, let's say you upload a CSV of sales by day by store, and then the AI analyst suggests a few pivot tables already, like sales by day, sales by store, etc. But you can also ask it specific questions. So what were the three products that sold the most in May, right? Or what is the correlation between sales of a store and the products that they sell? So things like this. And if you get it right, then it's a big help in just analyzing data much faster. That's what
definitely
we see.
It's so genius. Also, the way to do pivot tables, at least in my experience, way easier than with Excel.
You can just tell it what you want from the pivot table. That's one of the big use cases as well.
It's really cool for that. And it's so the AI analyst is like a feature that you all basically always had within, or like launched at some point. But then you also have this OpenAI integration, right? That's used more as of a formula, right? Because again, for the ones who don't know Rose, the way you can interact and communicate with the external apps is as you would do with Excel in a cell, just go and type in a formula, which I think is really cool. And that's also the way you then interact with OpenAI. You have different formulas for every integration, right?
Yeah. So what we saw is people essentially want to do two types of jobs. They either have a data set and they want to analyze it, okay, which means the tables that are on the data set, it's what they are. And then you want to ask questions about it. But then often there are jobs in which you want to extract information from the data set. So you want to run sentiment analysis, for example, on social media comments, or you get lists of Amazon product reviews and you want to summarize them. For those, you want to do things at the column level. And so we built this OpenAI integration that you don't need an API key, you don't need anything. We created several functions or actions that you can use at these column levels. You can say, you know, summarize column C in one line, or run sentiment analysis on this. Of course, this will evolve to the analyst also being able to have those capabilities. This is something that we're going to work on. Imagine that you call the analyst, and one of the things that you can do is, you know, automate an AI action, and you can say, look, I want to run sentiment analysis on column C, or I want to extract from column B the model of the product. Mm-hmm. And then it will do that for you as well. And you can like create the column, et cetera. So we see like it's a conversion of the jobs that you want to do in the spreadsheet.
That's so cool. So you have two AI assistants in a spreadsheet. That's
exactly, that's working cool in tandem to help you make your job a little bit easier.
Amazing. How is it like, because I also remember when Lilith talked to Tom, it was this like, why would you go ahead and try to build a new spreadsheet when there is this two giants, you know, who basically already took over everything in that space? And on the one hand, it's very obvious, is the things you said at the beginning, because it's time to make it easier, nicer, more modern, and just like to do a better product out of it that people don't use because they feel like, okay, this is the one everybody uses, so whatever, I'm gonna go with it. But more because, man, this is amazing, I want to work with it. But yeah, how is it to build a product that is up against something as big as Excel or Google Sheets?
It takes conviction, right? You have to believe that you can build something better and that you can move people away from these products into your product. So that is, I think, a big part of it. And resilience, we've been doing this for several years. The story that we tell is it took us 5 years to get to 50,000 users. It took us 5 days to get to 100,000. It took us 5 months to get to 600,000, right? Something like that. And so it also takes time and resilience. What we think about is really the why now. Why does it make sense now to build something like this? And I think the conversion of these ideas of SaaS tools being connected to your spreadsheets for you, a lot of the times you build something that you want to share and every spreadsheet that exists doesn't have a great point of view on how do you share a spreadsheet, how does it work on mobile, how do the charts interact, etc. And now the third one is really this AI layer that is going to affect every job. And so if there was a time to reinvent the spreadsheets, I think 2024 is the best time in the last 40 years. I think the jury's still out if we will make it or not make it. But I think we have high enough conviction that something in this space will happen and that we are really well positioned to be the ones who solve this problem.
All right, I'm very excited to see that play out in the future. But I'm Team Rose, so let's hope we can have an update on that in a year or two when it's, well, our user number 50 million has recently said.
Well, this weekend we passed the analyst answered its 200,000 question, right? Which is, I think,
nice,
a fun milestone.
Yeah,
let's see how fast we get to a million questions answered.
Well, that's basically precisely the thing that you were doing mainly, right? With being the head of growth. And we teased it at the beginning. You mentioned it one or two times. Rose had different milestones where it like exploded in user growth. You said it took you, 5 years to get 50,000, then you doubled to 100,000. Now you have 800,000, right?
Yeah.
Can you, and I suspect a big part of that has been because of this no front page kind of thing. Can you tell us about it? What is it and how did you guys come up with that and how did it work out for you?
Yeah, we call it Instant Rose. And the idea is if you're on desktop, you go to rose.com, you don't have a home page, you land directly in the product. And the reason why we built this was, unlike maybe a lot of other products, the base experience of a spreadsheet, people already understand. They know what the spreadsheet is. They know what formulas are. They know that you can filter, you can sort. And a lot of us are building SaaS tools. And if we're lucky, maybe 8 or 9% of people who land on the website sign up. And this means that you've spent all of that money, your money, your VC money, building something, and most people will never see it because they never even touch the product. And so we thought, okay, what are the base assumptions then for why do we need the spreadsheet? I mean, if we have a very large market, the spreadsheet market is huge. People can basically work on it in a self-service mode because they're at least the basic level, they understand what the spreadsheet is. The product is a freemium product anyway, so we know that most people will be on the free plan. And so if people can use it on their own, it's a big market, it's a freemium play, and we only need to monetize on a small subset of people, why do we need a homepage? Why don't we try not having a homepage and see what happens? And this is what we did maybe a month after launching the AI analyst. So these two things would have happened in the same month. And we didn't really know what to expect, but honestly, the downside was quite limited. If it didn't work out, we would just put a homepage again and we would go back where we were before. And what we thought that was really interesting was not only the amount of people who tried the product increased, because this is obvious because now we have more people landing on the product, but the conversion rate to sign up more than tripled. Wow. So we used to have like 8, 9, 7% of people on desktop who signed up, and now it's in the 20s.
Wow.
And so that tells us that it's not only that people try it more, is that they actually sign up more. Then of course, our job in growth is not only that people sign up, is that they actually activate, became retained, etc. Obviously, we had a big decrease in activation just because the funnel just increased a lot. And a lot of people have less intent. So our job after we've launched Instant Rose has been to iterate the onboarding experience very often. I think we are now at V5 of the onboarding experience for Instant Rose. Like, what do we show you? Do we ask you questions or do you just land on the spreadsheet? Do we show you a checklist experience? Do we show you templates? You know, we're trying all of these different things to see how do we move this number marginally on the activation front. And that was it. So we didn't really know what to expect. We knew that other products did this well, right? Products like Excalidraw, if you know this drawing tool, then you just also land there and it's a whiteboard and you can do it. Other products, we have friends who are building things like pewter.com, which is like an OS on the cloud that also doesn't have a landing page. So we had some indications that this might be interesting, but you never really know until we ship it. And now we're really glad that we did. Of course, in these things, there are multiple ways of being successful. Let's see what happens in a year or two. Yeah. But that was one of the things that really propelled this growth, at least in acquisition.
That's a cool, because the first time that I figured that you switched, I was a bit confused first because I was like, I'm in incognito. Why am I logged in? Then I figured, oh, I'm not logged in. Oh, wait, this is genius. This is nice. Okay. Sorry. So the very least that it does for new people is kind of try to understand what's going on. It's like, oh, okay. So this is like the website, but not really. So you already have, you know, the person probably spend more time on page. And then if I'm already here and I don't need to log in, I might as well play around with it and try it out. And if it feels nice, and because I have been looking for something like that, I don't know, I, you know, just click on the register. And as you said, of course, many people will register and then maybe not come back. But that step, I registered, and then you already have them there, as you just explained, then it's about the onboarding. You know, okay, we already got so many or so much more people to go over the first hurdle, basically, which is, a really, really cool move for a SaaS product.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of people will still be confused and they don't expect, and maybe, you know, we're trying to educate you the first time that you're there. You see a small panel that says, look, we're a spreadsheet, you have integrations. Yes. Then you end on the panel where you can pick your first data source. Yes. So we're iterating through that so that, like this panel, for example, also actually links to the homepage. Like, you know, are you not sure where to start? Click here to see our actual homepage because we still have that, but under /product or book call with us or check our intro video. And we know that it's really important that people connect an integration, import data, continue the journey from there. And so our job is, if we know nothing about you, how can we help you get there as fast as possible?
Yeah. It's a cool move. Let's see how that plays out in the future as well. What else are the things that concern you as a head of growth? Like how does your work routine look like? What are the things that you're, you know, trying to adjust and play around with to get that number even higher?
Yeah. There are always, you know, three numbers on my mind. One of them is obviously around MRR or ARR, the goal of the company. The goal is ultimately that. But then the two KPIs that I'm more concerned on the day-to-day is the activation rate and then the power workspaces. So what is a power workspace for us? It's one of the most important metrics, which are how many accounts used us at least 3 days in the last 7. And this is really the North Star metric, right? Yeah. You know, every day and then every week, we have our what we call power workspace report, which is when we look 7 days back, how many people use this 3 days or more. And this number should always be growing. Like weekly active users is very subjective. For example, for a marketing campaign that you need, or signups, right? Like you're on TechCrunch and then signups explode. But power workspaces is something that it's a lot harder to gain. Like people really need to be there at least 3 days in the previous 7. And it's a really strong measure of stickiness. So if this number is always going up and to the right, it means that at some level you're retaining more and more people at least met. And then the job is, okay, why do we have more power workspaces? Who are the new power workspaces? What are they using the product for? What integrations are they using? Like, are they company domains? Are they personal domains? How many people are they inviting? And that's kind of a lot of the job on that end is figuring out what makes the power workspaces power? How can I get more of them? And then on the completely opposite side is I have thousands of people coming up every day. How do I marginally increase the activation rate for those people? And so our day is balanced between those two. And then there's always user calls throughout the day. I think I tweeted this late last year. I think I did like 170 calls last year, for example. Wow. So it's really Yeah, I think it's really being intentional about I want to talk and see how people use the product. And yeah, so it's a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think it's also even when you get to a certain user number, as you already have, and after having an explosion like that, I don't know, maybe some people start to get comfy, like, oh, see, this is growing, it's working out. But at any day, something, you know, could change in the behavior of users and then leave you there wondering why that power activation thingy has gone down. And then, of course, if you are not talking to users basically once a week, it's super hard to find that out. But you said you get all those KPIs and analytics about how people use the platform, right? So that has been built in to basically your backend or your admin view of Rose from day one, to always be able to see how people use it, you know, those analytics.
Listen, the first thing that we built on the data analytics was an event every time you use the formula. That was the first thing that you did, that we built, right? Now a user submits a formula. Obviously, we don't log the content of the formula. This is private to you. But, you know, Adriano used the sum in cell AC2 at this timestamp in this spreadsheet ID, etc. That was the first thing that we've ever built. And then this would go to BigQuery, and then we would build our cohorts and our analysis on top of that. And then obviously, as the product evolved, we started having more instrumentation and more events. Eventually, the product Rose, we built a connection with BigQuery, and now we just pipe everything through Rose. Like you can write a SQL query in Rose, pull the data from BigQuery, automate it, build the analysis there. So everything is piped to BigQuery, and then we just read and analyze it in Rose.
Cool. So now that you're talking with users so much and you see all of those, well, the analytics are the one thing because they're, as you said, mostly anonymous, and you just try to understand how people use it, right? But especially those interviews and probably also feedbacks that you get. I remember that you also sent emails asking about, you know, hey, what would be something you'd like and things like that. I feel like generally you're very, very active in you know, trying to improve the experience by getting as many small feedbacks as possible. What are the things that most users are like looking into? What are feature requests that you know have the highest votes or maybe are the most critical?
Yeah, we have this open voting on feedback.rose.com where people can vote on their favorite features. We have two types of feature requests. One of them, we call them Sparity, which are spreadsheet things that other spreadsheets have and we don't have yet. And they're the most requested ones are version history, which I think you also asked us for indirectly.
Yes.
Merge cells, okay, which from, I think, the ethos of a spreadsheet is kind of an odd feature, merging cells, but people really like it. And so we believe we have to build it. And then this kind of trash can functionality, which is similar to version history. If you delete something, you can recover it. And we're going to build this quite fast. And then there are other types of features, which are things that are already part of what makes Rose special, but people want more of it. So it might be new data sources. So the new data source that people want the most are TikToks and TikTok ads.
Cool.
A lot of people want systemization of the spreadsheet. So I want to, for example, I'm a marketing agency. I want to share the report of the client, but I don't want the top bar, or I want to customize the color of the top bar. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's coming up more and more. And then people want more AI power or specific features from the AI.
Okay.
Like I want to be able to ask the AI to build a chart, or I want to be able to ask the AI to add a new column with certain logic. And this is it's a good barometer for us to understand what people want to do with it. I think the most interesting thing is at the end of the day, when you're with a customer and they share the screen and you see them trying to do something, it's so much more valuable than anything people tell you on the email, because you really see where people are struggling with. They don't connect the right button, or they don't read the label, or things are too confusing. And making improvements on those are normally much bigger wins than building an additional feature, right? Because an additional feature will be for a subset of people, etc.
Yeah.
But if you improve something in the core experience, it will affect a lot more people. And that's the balance.
Cool. What is the feature that you're looking most forward to?
We're working on something, like, again, The leading indicator for you to become a Power Workspace is you import the data from an integration, you build them some sort of chart, and you shared it. And then what we see is that the conversion rate from clicking integration to creating a table is not where we want it to be. And so we're working on a few different ways of making that easier. And one of them might be preset reports. So you click on Google Analytics 4 and we say, look, do you want a page view report? Do you want a traffic by source report, et cetera? Or do you want something advanced? And just getting people to where they want faster. So that's something I'm quite bullish on. A second thing that I'm really bullish on is we're doing a huge revamp to our templates. We know that people want templates, they love templates, but we haven't solved the template job very well so far. And I think we are a few weeks away of doing a big push there. And then finally, I'm really excited about the AI upgrades that we're doing. Like we're going to launch this version AI Analyst 2.0 soon. It's going to be able to do some stuff on charts and table descriptions as well. So I'm really curious to see what the reception of those will be.
Cool, man. Looking forward to them.
Yeah.
All right. And one last question that I usually have, especially for those people that not only work with no-code tools, but built them. And also now that we heard about how much you go into user feedback, and then, I don't know, the analysis of how they interact with the app and everything. For you personally, what is a good no-code tool? What are the things that you would say, man, that's something that a good no-code tool should have?
I think it should give you value or solve the job, the base job, as fast as possible, but then give you enough customization that you don't have to resort to code. I think this is a bit of the balance of no-code tools, right? Can I build something that in 10 or 15 minutes you see enough value to spend another hour, but then you can spend that other hour customizing something without needing extra help? So I think that's where products like Make or Zapier really do a wonderful job, right? They allow you to build these point-to-point connections, and you can see how you can extend this to multiple tools, and you can do this on your own. So yeah, that's what I would look for in a no-code tool, I guess.
Cool. I think that's also something that Rose does really very well. First of all, with the instant Rose, that's basically in zero seconds, you already have the product that you can play around with. So that's really cool. All right. I think that's that. I am really excited to see the new features in action and everything else that comes from Rose. As I already said, you already won me over in Visual Makers. I hope many others from our community and from the listeners as well. And if not, then maybe with this nice talk and everything that you shared. Is there anything else that you want to share? I mean, the most important links will be found in the episode description, of course, to the Rose front page, their instant Rose, basically, to your LinkedIn. People can probably also reach out to you. Anything else from your side?
That's it. I am Enrique at rose.com, and I and the team really like to share a lot of these stories on Twitter as well. So if you look me up, I'll be there sharing stories and statistics about Rose. And thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited to see where this is going and looking forward to hearing the episode.
Amazing. So am I. Thank you so much for being here, Enrique.
Take care. Thank you.